Hey, welcome back in. Hour number three of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30-plus years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Knezvik here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. We'll be joined by Preds forward Matt Duchene coming up to begin the 9 o'clock hour. Preds back in action tonight. They'll take on the Dallas Stars. Puck drop at 7 o'clock, pregame at 6 o'clock. Here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. By the way, keep in mind tonight, if you're wanting to watch the Preds game, it's on TNT. So make sure you keep that in mind tonight as you look forward to the Predators back in action. Nate on Twitter, very upset when I said that the Beatles are not very good. Says, this is our Stanley NHL when the Preds goal is being reviewed and the Let It Be song comes on. I will say, of the Beatles songs, I do somewhat enjoy Let It Be. I'll give you that one.
That's my mom and I's favorite song.
Yeah.
Joe was going to say least.
It's one of my least favorite Beatles songs, but yeah, whatever. Yeah. It's fine. It's still a great song because the Beatles' worst songs are the other band's best songs, but sure.
Sure. that's the way we'll
Joe's got to be a hater. Got to be a hater, Joe. Come on.
I'm not being a hater. I just said the Beatles' worst songs are other teams' best songs because the Beatles are the greatest.
Oh, man.
You think this is some crazy opinion that the Beatles are the greatest?
Yes, I do.
Okay. You might find, I don't know, a few million people who agree, which I know doesn't necessarily mean something's right. But in this case,
it certainly doesn't.
Yes. But in this case, it is right. The millions of us are right.
Joe, some interesting comments made from the Pharaoh already. Here we are. What are we, a week since he retired? Less than a week since he retired when these comments came out? He was on his Let's Go podcast, which we have come to love here on the program alongside Jim Gray, and was talking about his future, what that could look like, and whether or not he could come out of retirement and play, and had some very interesting comments. Here's what Tom Brady had to say on maybe what his future could look like here in the next few months.
You always liked Michael Jordan, and you had that poster on your wall. Kind of your standard. He came back. Muhammad Ali came back. Mike Tyson came back. So yeah. Inevitably, some quarterback's going to get hurt or not perform at the level, and it's going to start in July in training camp. It's going to go again in September and probably again in October and November. How are you going to entertain those thoughts, and would you ever consider that?
You know, I'm just going to take things as they come. You know, I think that's the best way to put it. And I don't think anything never, you know, you never say never. And, you know, at the same time, I know that I feel very good about my decision. So I don't know how it feels 6 months from now. It may change. It most likely won't. But, you know, I try to make the best possible decision I can in the moment, which I did this last week. And again, I think it's not looking to, you know, reverse course. I'm definitely not looking to do that. But in the same time, I think you have to be realistic that you never know what challenges there are going to be in life. And, again, I love playing. I'm looking forward to doing things other than playing. That's as honest as I can be with you there, Jim.
So that was Tom Brady on his Let's Go podcast, where I don't know about you, Joe, but it kind of felt to me that he was like talking one way about, oh yeah, well, you mean you never say never, and then he thought to himself like in mid-sentence, oh boy, this is going to be a bad thing. So then he starts to walk it back, and then he doesn't want to walk it back too far, so he starts going back down the other way and then walks it back again. That was for being, you know, retired less than a week. That's a pretty interesting response from Tom Brady there. That's got a lot of people's wheels turning of, man, is he going to come back in like September and be ready to play football? Like what's going to happen with Tom Brady? What was your reaction to those comments from Tom Brady?
You basically just described a man stumbling around hammered on avocado tequila.
I did.
But in a verbal sense. Yeah, I'm with you. And that's as honest as I can be with you. Is kind of like, okay, I need to chill it out now. And so that's as much as I'm going to say to you right now. And, oh, I already know that this is going to, like, make a splash. So, now, this could also be immediate buyer's remorse kind of thing when someone's right. Just like Chris Ballard's emotional about how the Colts completely choked away a playoff spot. And so you say what you say. Then maybe this is like maybe a month from now, Tom Brady would be asked the same question and he'd be like, actually, I'm enjoying this and pass the avocado tequila.
Right.
And as he's on the golf course and, you know, doesn't feel that way. But yeah, that sounded like someone conflicted about the decision to retire.
Which is, it's interesting because if you're that conflicted about it, why did you go ahead and make the decision that soon? I mean, and this has been reported and talked about of, you know, he wanted to make a decision quickly to give the Bucks an opportunity to, you know, kind of move on and respond if they need to. Like, you know, I don't know that Tom Brady is necessarily going to come out of retirement. We talked about this, though, before he even said anything about it in terms of what happens if it's down the road and there's an itch to play if you're Tom Brady. Charles Robinson talked about, you know, what if he comes back a year from now and he's 46 and thinks to himself, yeah, I can still do this after a year off from the NFL and wants to play. Like, you know, I'm not going to make some call your shot Friday prediction right now that Tom Brady's coming back. But if you told me right now that Tom Brady was playing football either this fall or next fall, there would be 0% surprise for me. 0%.
Yeah. It'd be low. It'd be low for me too. That's the thing. I mean, yeah, like just look at like Phillip Rivers. And I know he had been with the Colts specifically. So that was, you know, when they weren't sure if Carson Wentz was going to be long-term hurt, you know, they immediately went to him. I mean, Tom Brady, what he has been the last 2 years is certainly better than what Phillip Rivers was at the end of his career. And people were clamoring for him. So the demand from teams that are in a bind or even just want an upgrade,
yeah,
is going to be there. And I'm with you. Maybe he'll be like, it's like, what did Gordie Howe, you know, came back. Okay, now I'm 50, I'm coming back. And I'm 60, yeah. I'm going to come back. You know, maybe Brady will try to at least dip his toe in with each decade here.
Yeah.
I mean, look. Tom Brady, is a year off at 46 or whatever, coming back, I'm assuming he stays in shape, still be a top half of the league QB.
Yeah. Like if I told you right now that at 47 years old, Tom Brady was still playing and was still really, really good, would you really be that surprised by it? I wouldn't be.
I mean, not now. And again, like 2 years ago, I thought we were seeing someone who was starting to play like his age. But after what he just did the last 2 years, no. No surprise.
Well, it started yesterday, and I knew that it would. I told you about the text message that I received on Monday night at 9:01 p.m. from Jared Stillman about Tom Brady. It started yesterday. The wheels are already turning in young Jared's mind about maybe the idea of Tom Brady coming out of retirement and maybe looking at the Titans. What do you think of that? You ready for that?
See, I missed that. I missed that part. I didn't hear that part. I'm not surprised. Oh, yeah. The part I heard was when he said that he thinks that Robinson and Vrabel are ego guys who are like Jerry Jones, and that's why they want a quarterback who will keep his mouth shut. Which, like there aren't enough Toonsises driving off cliffs, exploding into balls of flames to accurately describe the hotness of that take.
We'll continue to take your thoughts on Tom Brady on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Do you think Tom Brady's going to come out of retirement? Hit up our text line, 615-737-1025. We'll get to more of that coming up on the other side. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025, The Game. Doing 102.5 The Game tonight for the Preds Bud Light Watch Party at Headquarters Beercade. You can have drink specials, enter to win Preds tickets, and watch the Preds take on the Dallas Stars. It's the Preds Bud Light Watch Party at Headquarters Beercade, located at 114 2nd Avenue South downtown. The puck drops at 7 o'clock tonight. Little Toonses the Driving Cat bringing us back in here today on the program.
I'd like to add – favorite. That's fantastic and so appropriate. I'd like to add – that when I got home, I was doing dad taxi stuff. When I got home from listening to this, which I was seriously like, I was laughing out loud. I texted Caroline Fenton, and I just said, like, thank you for just flatly saying no to this idiotic take. Thank you. Like, I was like, as soon as he was going to her, you know, I was like, this is right here where you start throwing stuff at him. Yeah. It is warranted to throw something at him, throw a lamp at his head. But she flatly said, basically in a very kind Caroline Fenton professional way, you're a freaking idiot, dude. And bless your heart, Caroline.
Got a little Joe versus Jared action today, don't we?
Hope. Yeah, I mean, please, I hope this topic can be weaved in somehow, just so I can laugh. I have no argument. I'm just going to laugh.
Just say no. Just no. Don't even give it a time of day. Nope.
20 straight seconds of cackling will be my only response. I mean, think about how, like, I can't even, my God.
I love Joe Rexroad getting worked up. Let's go to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Matt from Camden texting in says, let's just say Brady comes out of retirement. Where does he end up? Do you think the 49ers come into play since they're moving on from Jimmy G and it would give Trey Lance another year or two to develop? I feel like the Niners are one of the only teams he would come out of retirement for. This is coming from Matt from Camden on the text line. And there is the natural connection there of he's from that area. You know, Jimmy G would be moving on. I think his parents still live out there in the California area. So there's a lot that makes sense there. What do you think, Joe Rexroad? If Tom Brady comes out of retirement, where is he looking to go? Because I assume it's not back to Tampa Bay.
Yeah, I mean, I think that makes sense. And that was, a place of interest before. But, I mean, they are starting the Trey Lance era, are they not?
Granted, I think so.
That could be like the Jordan Love era that may never really start in Green Bay. But, I mean, Trey Lance, I think there's been some promise with him. Looked like a rookie, but I think there's high hopes for Trey Lance. So, I mean, I think it's more probably a place that really needs a quarterback. Like, say, the Tennessee Titans in a year. What do you think?
Jared's not going to be the only one to throw that out there. But Ben on the text line says, Brady's not coming to the Titans if he comes out of retirement. He will hold that grudge that they didn't want him 2 years ago, or at least use it as motivation when he picks another team. This comes from Ben on the text line. So Brady says, pound sand to the Titans. They didn't want me, which I don't think we know that.
So now we've created this entire like fictional scenario where like Brady is mad at the Titans because they – where does this come from?
Well,
it seems to me like Vrabel and Brady are still buddies.
It seems to me like they are too.
I don't know, man. I don't think that's a thing.
Jason from Murfreesboro texting and says, is he going to reconnect and take Gronk with him? I will say I don't see Gronk playing football again if Tom Brady's not a part of it. I could be wrong. I just don't see it playing out that way.
Totally agree. And honestly, like let's say it's a year from now, Gronk can probably do some damage in a year, man. I could see him be like, you know what? I'm good.
Yeah. You know, guys, been out there living my life. That's what Gronk does. Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Raymond in Franklin texting in says, I think Brady is just worried somebody might not mention his name for 2 weeks. He's not coming back. Mrs. Brady will not let it happen. This is coming from Raymond in Franklin on the text line. So maybe Tom Brady worried that he's going to be out of the news cycle now that he's no longer playing football. What are your thoughts on that, Joe Rexroad?
I'm just glad that someone else took a little shot at Brady, and so I can't just be called the only Brady hater. But, yeah, well, we haven't talked about a lot was made, of course, of family, wife, kids.
Sure.
You know, I mean, a lot of it is, you know, you are putting yourself in harm's way playing this game. And at that age, I mean, I'm sorry, but you can eat all the kale you want. Those bones get a little more brittle, you know? So, I mean, if they're all in and excited about this, how would you pull that off? I mean, people do sometimes, but.
It's just interesting to me, those comments that we played last segment. Like, I would assume when you make the decision to retire that you're at peace with it. Otherwise, why are you making the decision so quickly? Like, it's not like he's got anything to worry about right now. He can look at the Bucs and say, hey, like, I'm probably not going to know until June, July. So do with that information what you will. Make your decisions as if I'm not going to be here. And if I am, we'll figure it out then. It seems to me like a guy that's really conflicted with his decision. And I'm not, like, you know, I don't want to get into reading people's emotions based on what they say from Tom Brady. I would expect when that question was asked and before I heard the audio clip, when the question was framed the way it was by Jim Gray, I guess I would have expected a little bit more of a strong, yeah, I'm not doing that from Tom Brady. Even if, you know, maybe one day he actually does come out of retirement, I would assume like a week after you'd be a little bit more firm in your decision than he was there.
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, Jim Gray, man, he's just got that power over people. He gets them to say things, you know.
I'm taking my talents to South Beach.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. On the Let's Go podcast.
Why no, Rex Road, a recent subscriber of the Let's Go podcast for sure.
Why is it called the Let's Go podcast?
Because that's what Brady does. He yells, "Let's go." There's another word tossed in there too before every game.
So then it should be the LFG podcast. That would be cool. The LFG podcast would be cool. Let's go. But anyway, yeah, I don't know. Look, I mean, I think it conveys some honest buyer's remorse in the immediate aftermath. But time goes on. I don't know. As the texter said, Brady does not like to go too long without being mentioned or being in the public eye. So let's see if he answers any differently on the LFG podcast in a month.
Shane from Ashland City texting in says, I feel like Brady picked the perfect time to do it to get the least amount of talk going. If he did this during the off season, it would be on every show all over the world every single day. This is coming from Shane from Ashland City. I don't think this one's going away anytime soon, though. Like, I think, as Jim Gray pointed out there, anytime in the off season, you know, there's a quarterback opening, or let's say the next season begins and in week one, you know, somebody gets hurt. Everybody's going to be talking about Tom Brady. Like, who's going to give Tom Brady a call? Is Tom Brady going to be open to coming to so-and-so? Like, what's going to happen with Tom Brady? Like, this is not going to go away anytime soon. Charles, you know, talked about that a couple of weeks ago when we were talking about Brady and retirement. You know, this is not going to be something that just goes away with Tom Brady. This is going to be a conversation for the next couple of years with Tom Brady.
Right. And I mean, on this show, which, you know, obviously we're not in the market of either the Super Bowl participants. We've talked more about this now than we have about the Super Bowl game that's coming up. So,
yeah,
I mean, player movement, player recruitment, free agency draft, that is its own. It dominates really sports. If you think about it, you know, I mean, there are a lot of college football fans. I wouldn't say the majority, but there's a big, big audience of college football fans who I swear pay more attention to recruiting than the actual games that are played.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I don't think there's any question about it. Gary on the text line says, breaking news, Tom Brady bought land to build a 7-Eleven in Spring Hill, open to joining the Titans. This is coming from Gary on the text line. Taking a little shot at Stillman there. There you go.
Taking a little shot. Hey, I'd like to go to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHoney.com myself. Dennis, good friend of the show.
Yeah.
For a week in 1964, every song in the Billboard Top 5 with a Beatles song. No one has ever come close to that. I can't wait in 50 years for the Disney Plus documentary of Blink-182 recording their classic Enema of the State album, end quote. Dennis, you are now my favorite listener of all time. Thank you.
Well, you know, in 1964 as well on television, the ratings used to be really high for everything because there were three channels. A little bit more options now, Joe Rexroad.
Okay. I don't know how that's relevant, but okay.
It is relevant. There's more musical. The music has evolved, Rexroad. Sometimes very poorly, but it has evolved.
But all rock music basically has ripped off the Beatles.
Whoa. That's a bold statement.
I mean, now granted, the Beatles, just like all rock music for the time, were ripping off, you know, rhythm and blues in the American South. But now the Beatles, I mean, we don't have time to go through this. They've been the most copied and ripped off and influential band of all time, easily.
Oh, I thought you said they copied. Okay, sorry. Go. Keep going.
Oh, no. Oh, my gosh, please. No, I would never.
Joe Rexroad says the Beatles copied everything. React to that.
Breaking
news. AJ Brown been making a little bit of news lately as well on social media. Apparently has a refascination with baseball that's been out there. He was taking some cuts in the batting cages yesterday on a video he posted. What does it mean? And do we think he's giving like serious, legitimate thought to playing baseball again. We'll get to that coming up on the other side. This is Robbie and Rex Road. You're on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30-plus years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Konezvic here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Games studio here with you on this Wednesday morning. Matt Duchene, Predators forward, coming up to begin the 9 o'clock hour. A great song coming back. AJ Brown making some noise lately, Joe Rexroad, in the baseball world. You know, I had the tweet, I think it was sometime last week, about, you know, maybe wanting to get back into playing baseball a little bit, being the two sport athlete, looking for a batting cage the other day. And he ends up taking some swings yesterday, which, by the way, swing looks pretty good. If you don't know, A.J. Brown was a stud baseball player as well in high school, as he was a football player. Actually got drafted by the San Diego Padres, I believe, in the 16th round. Now, obviously, football.
19th, right?
Yes, 19th round by the Padres. So, pretty good baseball player. If you go look at the video he tweeted yesterday, it's a pretty nice swing that he had to the table.
Yes.
As well. So, AJ, he still got it. The form is still there. As Ryan Porth points out on my own personal text line, with that video, AJ immediately became the best baseball player in Hillwood High School history. This coming from Ryan Porth, I believe taking a shot at Hillwood High School there. How about that, Porth?
Good stuff. Gee whiz. Hey, you know what? You worry about Hub and you know what he's yeah. doing up there, okay? We need to rip high schools around here in Nashville, Tennessee. Yeah, you Chicago and you.
Go do some coaching of Hub Arkish and his verbal assault on Aaron Rodgers, and we'll get back to you on the other side. We appreciate you, Porth.
We got to have Hub on sometime.
We really do. Now, the Padres have tweeted, this came 17 hours ago, yesterday afternoon, quote tweeting the A.J. Brown video of him taking batting practice, and the Padres say, like what we see, A.J., spring training is right around the corner. Now, I think most people view this as, all right, A.J. Brown loves baseball, obviously. There's nothing wrong with him, you know, taking some swings and wanting to play baseball. I have no problem with it. I know some people are like, well, what about the focus? Like, you should be focused on football. Shut up. I don't care if he's taking batting practice. Like, it makes no difference to me whatsoever. I guess my question is, do you think that there is any real interest in his part on actually trying to play baseball? And I feel like, you know, people bring up Deion Sanders and Bo Jackson all the time. It's a different time today than it was then. I kind of feel like playing two sports professionally nowadays is pretty much impossible. What do you think of the A.J. Brown baseball interest that's been revitalized in his life and all over social media the last couple of weeks?
Well, yeah. And by the way, Bo Jackson and Deion Sanders, two of the greatest athletes of all time. A.J. Brown is a tremendous athlete, tremendous football player. I agree with you. It's a nice swing.
Yeah.
But, you know, you're talking about all time. Well, you talk about the greatest. I mean, Bo Jackson has a case as like the best athlete ever. He really does.
Sure.
So, and it's a different time. Is AJ Brown, is he going to be known now? Taylor Lewan is the podcaster, because he's not always focused on AJ Brown's out of the batting cager.
Yeah.
They're going to get some kind of a, yeah, I love, oh, that stuff. Such a great pet peeve. Such
just
a
hitting great dingers. Peeve. Yeah.
Yeah, he should be at the jugs machine. What is it? It's February. You gotta get ready for camp. You should be in front of a jugs machine or watching film. That's the only two things that are acceptable. Or in the weight room. I mean, I look at this as AJ having fun and maybe a little bit of trolling. You know, a little bit of, you know, like, hey, get out there and tag the Padres and have some fun with it. But you know what? Look, if you're AJ Brown, you've played now in this league for 3 years. You've had quite a few injuries.
Yeah.
You are a big, strong, tough guy, and you understand the beating that the body takes in this league. So, I mean, like Kyler Murray, I don't know what the heck's going on with that, you know, but Kyler Murray is a guy who like could have been a prominent. I mean, he was a big time
first round pick.
Yeah. Look, like if I was in Kyler Murray's camp back then, I would make the point at least, you can play a lot longer, you can make a lot more money, and you won't aren't going to risk your knees and your shoulders and your brain playing baseball like you are playing pro football. If you love football, you love football. But as a post-football career, try to get in gear and maybe take a crack at it. Why not? He's obviously good enough to be – I know it's the 19th round, but that still speaks to a level of ability and potential.
Well, I heard the guys on Darren Donick and Chase talking about this the other day, and Willie brought up a good point. And, you know, obviously Willie, with his background, would know about this way more than I do. But it's, you know, when you're drafted in the 19th round, like a lot of that probably was also, well, he's probably going to go play football. So
right,
that slides down the draft board a little bit. And also at that point in the 19th round, which, by the way, there are about a million rounds in the MLB draft, you're just taking a flyer that if he decides to go play, then you've got it at that point. But also, like, if you're A.J. Brown, like, you hadn't played baseball in a long time, I have no doubt that he could probably go play professional baseball, but he'd have to start in, like, single A and work his way up. It'd be like – and Willie was like, it kind of reminds him of the Tebow thing. Like, you basically have to start from scratch because you've just not done it in a long time. So
right.
If you're a Titans fan out there that's, like, scared that A.J. Brown's all of a sudden going to pack it up, go play baseball, I don't think I'd worry about that too much. I don't think that's going to happen. There is the theory out there where, like, if you're A.J. Brown, maybe stop putting this stuff on social media, because now all of a sudden John Robinson could look around and say, well, what if he just leaves and play baseball? How do you expect me to pay him as much money now if I'm scared he's going to just pack it up and go play baseball at this point? What do you think of that one?
Yeah, or you could look at it the other way and say, ooh, I better make it sweet for him to stay. Don't want him to leave for baseball. You could flip it around on that, couldn't you? I mean, ultimately, I don't think it impacts that either way. You know, I just think he's having fun.
And which he's allowed to do. He's allowed to have fun.
This is allowed. Yes, this is allowed. And again, I like the swing, man. I like the swing.
I'm interested to see this offseason. Like, do you think that J-Rob starts to take a look at him this offseason in terms of an extension? There's a lot to do. We get it. This offseason, there's a lot he's got to figure out. But it would kind of be nice to, you know, kind of have a pretty good idea of where he's going to slot in. I mean, this is the last year of his deal coming up. And remember, being a second-round pick, there is no fifth-year option. So
right,
it'd be a pretty good idea, I think, to have a firm number of where he's going to slot in as he moves forward here.
Yeah, that's a good question. First of all, you have to start with, I would assume the Titans are all in on they need to have that second deal with him. I would assume that. You could make the case. I know at least one person named Jared Stillman who has made the case that they should not sign him long term. Because of his injury situation. I mean, in all seriousness, like, you have to take everything into account.
Sure.
You're talking about a huge, you know, a cap hit and a strain because you signed him long term. To me, I think it's a no-brainer. I think you have to, as long as you don't know about some degenerative situation with the injuries. Now, you know, right now he's got a $4.5 million cap hit. In theory, you could do a deal. You can massage a deal and do it like do with some of these other contracts and kick it down the road and things like that to help you in the short term. I think if you're resolved, unless you're like, I want to make sure, you know, he's healthy in camp and he can go week after week and this isn't going to, you know, become an annual thing with him with the injuries, unless there's any kind of mindset there, then I think you do absolutely start working on that and looking at trying to get it done before the season starts.
Dennis on the text line says, make sure you ask Duchesne why he and Forsberg were in Miami instead of focusing on hockey during the break. That's good stuff. I like that.
That's a fair point. I mean, you guys could have been, I mean, hey, Philip, you're only shooting 25%. Yeah. Let's work on that shot a little bit. Okay.
AJ out here playing baseball. Duchesne and Forsberg out there in the sunshine. What's going on around here? What are these athletes doing?
Unacceptable.
It is. Go to thegamenashville.com/deals to check out Nashville's best deals. Valentine's Day is next week, And Nashville's Best Deals is a great place to score last-minute deals. Right now, there are deals from everything from $50 off the Woodhouse Spa, half off of dining at the Mainstay and Hard Rock Cafe, half off the Brooklyn Bowl, plus $50 free with a purchase of $100 in downtown dollars. Nashville's Best Deals is your place for Valentine's Day steals. Check out all of these deals now at thegamenashville.com/deals. When we come back, it is time for Preds Pick to Click, brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. The Predators back in action tonight, taking on the Dallas Stars. Be the first caller at 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. The first caller, if you get the goal scorer right, will have a chance to win a pair of tickets to the Predators and their future home game coming up here in the next couple of months. We'll do that coming up on the other side. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. And it is that time of the day, time for Preds Pick to Click here on Robbie and Rex Road, brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. The Predators coming off the All-Star break. They are back in action tonight as they take on the Dallas Stars. Puck drop at 7 o'clock, pregame at 6 o'clock here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Once again, the game is on TNT tonight in terms of the television side of things. So make sure you keep that in mind. The standings in Preds Pick to Click are as such. The listeners in first place with 12 correct answers. Joe Rexroad in second with 11. I have closed the gap to Rexroad. Now in third place with 10 correct answers. Michelle on the board last time out as well. Now up to 5 correct answers. So the competition is heating up. We got a whole lot of games that are about to take place over the course of the next couple of months. So with that in mind, let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Brian, who is today's participant in Preds Pick to Click. Brian, thanks for calling in. Who is your pick to click for the Predators tonight as they take on the Dallas Stars?
Hello.
Brian, are you there?
Yeah, I was going to choose Josi for the goal.
So Roman Josi, the selection from Brian. Brian, appreciate you taking time to call in. I appreciate it.
Thanks.
Joe, I'm first, right?
I'm next. Yeah. And because I am next, let's just go ahead and do it. Philip Forsberg is the selection for Robbie Stanley.
Surprise, so surprise.
Philip Forsberg off the board. Joe Rexroad, you are up next. No Josi, no Forsberg.
Brian, you basically just set a pick on me, man. That's not cool. That's interference. Matt Duchene.
Hey, he's our guest coming up. Give him a nice pep talk. I mean, he scored 20 goals this year. He'll be fine. 21.
That's true. So I'm going to try to maybe in our interview give him subliminal thoughts that will help him score a goal.
Yes, maybe so.
Don't pass the puck.
Shoot it every time. Josi, Forsberg, and Duchene off the board. Michelle Knezovic, you are up next in the competition. Your pick to click tonight for the Nashville Predators.
So at first I was going to go back to Ryan Johansson because, you know, I was away from that for a little bit. But I'm thinking of our segment we had yesterday, and we talked a lot about Eli Tolvanen. Now we're going to need to see him produce a little bit more. So I'm going to go with Eli Tolvanen.
So Tolvanen, the selection from Michelle Knezovic. I like it. A lot of times when we go outside the box, it works out.
It works for you guys.
I don't know that I'd necessarily call Tolvanen out of the box. If you'd have told me, you know, heading into the year, he would have been pretty popular pick. So I like it. Tolvanen, the selection. So Brian goes with Roman Josi. Robbie takes Philip Forsberg. Joe with Matt Duchene and Michelle with Eli Tolvanen. This has been Preds Pick to Click, brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. We do this every Preds weekday game day here on Robbie and Rex Road. Joe, I feel like this is an opportunity here. This is going to be a fierce competition. This competition is better than it was last year.
Yeah, well, that's because I had Kelly Yonkroak on my side just tearing through the league, you know.
He did.
Back when, you know, you probably wouldn't have taken Matt Duchene. Actually, Matt Duchene scored when I picked him some last year too, didn't he?
That is true.
Even in that struggling year. So, yeah, I thought this was going to be another runaway. It's gotten a lot closer. But, you know, Michelle's pick, there's a guy who I think is a guy of high interest for this team. Moving forward, you talk about the trade deadline. Like, to me, it becomes a lot easier to say, yeah, leave this great chemistry and everything as is if the secondary scoring picks up a little bit, and he's got to be top of the list.
Well, I do think, regardless of if the answer is in-house or if you go out and find somebody at the deadline, like, you've got to find somebody that can play with Johansson, because they've tried a bunch of different options there. You know, Nick Cousins has been there as of late, you know, due to kind of the way the lineup is shaken out. I like Nick Cousins. I like a lot of what he brings to the table. Like, Nick Cousins, to me, probably doesn't need to be playing with Ryan Johansson. So I think you've got to find somebody. I get an ideal world that's Tolvanen to play with Johansson, and he sets up and can score from there. They've tried that this year, and the production from Tolvanen's part of it just was not consistent enough. So, look, maybe you go back to that well, and maybe it's Tomasino at some point as the year comes along. I don't know. Like, I'm interested to see what his role looks like as they move forward here. But at some point, at 5-on-5, you got to find somebody that can consistently be productive with Johansson. Maybe that answer is in-house. Maybe it's not. But that's one big thing I'm looking for in the second half of the season.
Yeah, I mean, if you're Tolvanen, you've got to really want to be playing with Johansson, right? I mean,
yes.
I mean, as effective as he is at setting people up, you got to be looking at it like, okay, got to earn my way back onto Johansson's line. Because I feel like Tolvanen and Cunningham, Johansson could be really good, but, you know, it's got to prove it.
Michael in Clarksville texting in says, what about playing Tolvanen and Tomasino with Johansson? I think there might come a point where they look at that. I mean, I think a lot of that is dependent on Tomasino continuing to develop. I like a lot of what he does offensively, and he gets chances. Now, he's not buried a bunch of them this year, but, and David Poyle's pointed this out multiple times, one thing you do like about Tomasino offensively is it kind of feels like at least once a game there's a flash of, oh, okay, there's a chance, or there's a chance he created. So you feel good about that moving forward. I still think he's got some work to do on the other parts of the game in terms of, you know, his physicality. I think some of that, honestly, is just going to be he's got to get bigger. So that's going to be a process that takes place, you know, over the course of the next few years. It's kind of similar to when Forsberg first came in the league. A lot of flashiness to his game. You liked a lot of what you saw, but he got pushed around. And Forsberg eventually overcame that. And obviously, there's nobody pushing Philip Forsberg around right now. You know, Tomasino and him are not the same player, but I do think a lot of Tomasino's role and whether or not they're going to elevate him is going to depend on how he approaches the other side of the puck as well, and how he can handle that as the playoffs get closer, the physicality gets ramped up, and quite frankly, just your space to operate as the regular season, you know, comes to an end and the playoffs start to roll around. It's just harder to operate. There's not enough space out there. So I'm interested to see how Tomasino responds to that.
Yeah, I don't know that he's ever going to be butt-checking dudes into the glass left and right like probably Forsberg not. Has been able to figure out. But yeah, that's an obvious thing of a young player, a player young in his career. I mean, I feel like – do you feel like Fabbro, that's been part of Fabbro's ability to improve and take a step this season? I would say so.
Yeah, big time. I think – you know, you think back to last year – I've always felt like Fabro's a pretty good skater, like straight line skater. But, you know, there's more to skating than just being able to move quick. Like, there's a lot that goes into it. You got to be able to change directions quick. You got to be able to be strong on the puck. And I felt like there were too many times where Fabbro would go into the corner, he'd get it, he'd try to come out with it, and he just gets shoved right off. That's not happened as much this year. I feel like he's improved pretty dramatically in the area. Like, honestly, when him and Yossi are out there together, and I know I'm talking about Roman Josi here, and he's an all-world player. Feel pretty good when him and Josi are out there. Like, they've been pretty darn solid defensively.
Yeah. So, and look, think about how much, you know, concern there was about Fabbro last year, especially as, you know, John Hines made – and I know some people weren't happy with this, you know, the lineup decisions, but at the time there was also decision-making, which was part of it, but that goes to confidence too, right? And it probably also speaks to – when you are losing those battles in the corner, that can affect how you just operate on the ice. So you see the progress there. Tomasino, to me, I'd say he's right about what I would have, maybe even a little bit better than I would have guessed this year, honestly. Maybe a little bit better, but pretty much right on course for expectations. And it's just going to be a gradual build, just like we've seen some of these other forwards, you know, with this franchise over the years, you know, Victor Arvidsson in 15, 16, and all of a sudden a couple years later, look what he did.
Yeah, exactly. When we come back, speaking of the Predators, we will be joined by Predators forward Matt Duchene as the Preds prepare to take on the Dallas Stars coming up tonight. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.